good to have you with us here on the radio. I'm Eric Carpenter, and this is KCVL, KCRK. We've made it to Friday. Man, I hope you drove slow last night. Hearing reports, so Arden, down south of Addy, it was just super foggy last night. People going 40 miles an hour and still feeling like they were going too fast. Also hearing that between Colville and Kettle Falls really got socked in last night. So be careful. We have the freezing fog in the forecast. I'm going to talk more about that weather forecast coming up in just a little bit. Quick reminder, coming up on Saturday down at the Ag Trade Center, 10 in the morning. Yeah, Jody Hoffman will be there. They will be having an update and find out about the Happy Tales Dog Park. 10 o'clock Saturday morning down at the Ag Trade Center here in Colville. Well, a lot of things and a lot of changes going on with the public schools in the area. Today we hear more from the Chihuahua School Superintendent, Jason Perrins, talks with us about their plans for their aging buildings. Here's Jason Perrins.
People are wondering what's happening with our old middle school. If you recall, 7 or 8 years ago, our middle school was consolidated into our high school, and so we have a building that's sitting there, and we are currently still working with new health care facility and services that are provided in Stevens County, and so they have expressed interest in that building and into purchasing it so that they can build and grow their services to Stevens County. So we are in that conversation as we speak. Going back to our response to bad things committee. So our focus here as a district is trying to put all the things in place to make sure that we can respond well to anything that happens and communicate well with our community and our parents. It's a focus that we have this year. Additionally, an additional focus we have in our district is a long-term facility plan. So our elementary and our high school, middle schools, the current ones that we're housing, they are 38 and I think 43 years old. So they're very old buildings. And we have luckily been the recipient of capital levies, which are pretty common. They're small little capital levies that we can do small projects. And we're at a point now to where we need to be talking about things that are bigger because our buildings are 40 years old and they're going to need some more help. But we're developing a plan first. So it's important for us to look at 20-year plan. What things that need to be done in 10 years, in 15 years, or in 2 years? And Chihuahua School District really strives to find grants and to find other ways to pay for it. We are not excited about going to our community and taxing them. We have been able to do many projects through grants, and we'll continue to pursue that. And the state is also supportive in the grants they can give to help. So we're looking, pursuing all these angles, and we'll probably spend this next year and into next year finalizing that. But I think by the end of this year, we might have a pretty good plan in place, then working to make that plan a reality. We have a capital levy that we passed here a year ago, November, which is remodeling our classrooms. It's upgraded. We got sidewalk issues. We have lighting issues. We did our tennis courts. The capital levies have been a blessing and allowed us to maintain pretty good facilities at this point. But we have that long-range plan. So that's another thing we're working on. We have community members helping us. Some great, smart, intelligent engineers out there that are really helpful as we work on this. And so we're really blessed to have that.
We're going to hear more next week from the Chihuahua Schools. The superintendent's going to update us on some of their education-related focuses for the school year. An accident to report on. That accident was a fatal accident with the pedestrian on the roadway. The accident involving a Barry Melton, the driver of the vehicle, age 59, from Nine Mile Falls. The deceased pedestrian was a 57-year-old male. We don't have the identity on the person killed at this time. Again, this traffic collision occurring on the 18th, about 7:30 in the evening. Another accident, this one between Kettle Falls and Republic, involved two vehicles. It was located 37 miles east of Republic. A Jacqueline Cate from Republic, a driver of vehicle one. The second vehicle, Cheryl Burtis and a Greg Burtis in that second vehicle. They both from Kettle Falls. All three had to be transported to Mount Carmel. Vehicle one was eastbound, struck vehicle two on the westbound shoulder. The State Patrol did indicate unsafe lane travel and that drugs or alcohol were involved. Again, that accident shortly after 5 o'clock on the 18th. Apparently some progress being made in Olympia on legislation introduced that would restore the ability of law enforcement to engage in vehicle pursuit of suspects. John Satcast has the report.
In 2021, lawmakers passed a bill that limited vehicle pursuits in which there is probable cause to believe a violent or sexual crime was committed. After those new restrictions were enacted, there was an increase in motorists simply driving away from traffic stops, and car thefts jumped. Sumner Republican Representative Eric Robertson has joined with Democratic Representative Alicia Rule to introduce bipartisan legislation to fix the problem.
The biggest component is it changes the standard for a pursuit from the unreasonable and nearly unachievable level of probable cause to reasonable suspicion, and allow law enforcement officers across the state of Washington, if their department policies allow for it, to pursue suspected criminals.
Robertson is a retired Washington State Patrol trooper. He says House Bill 1363 would ensure criminals do not have a free pass and would allow police agencies to set their own pursuit policies. John Satcast, the State Capitol.
Saunders Furniture is taking a page out of Canada's book this year with Boxing Day sales throughout the store. Saunders is bringing in the new year with new styles, savings, and selections from the World Furniture Market. It's out with the old and in with the new, so to speak. It's the January clearance sale going on now through January. Save up to 75% off on select items that have got to go. Look for the yellow tags now through January at Saunders Furniture.
A Judge Peterson sentencing Rios Mirabal, age 25, from Spokane, to 5 years in federal prison for arson of a building used in interstate commerce. Well, the judge ordered him to pay restitution of $4,981 for damages. This was a fire that was started at St. Charles Parish and School on North Alberta in Spokane. In addition to the prison time, he'll serve 3 years supervised release following release from prison. He had pled guilty to the offense back in September of 2022. He has been in federal custody since his arrest March 26, 2021. That is the minimum mandatory sentence for that arson charge.
When your vehicle is involved in an accident, you want collision repair performed by highly trained experts. Since 1984, Carey's Auto Body has been your specialist. We handle the complete repair process to get you back on the road as quickly as possible. Carey's Auto Body works carefully with your insurance company to repair your vehicle to before accident condition. Carey's Auto Body, 1101 South Main in Colville. Log on to carriesautobody.com or call 509-684-2585.
This week, and ever since the legislature began their session, they've been dealing with Second Amendment and gun issues almost every day. Hot topic. Today we hear from Dave Workman, Second Amendment advocate. He went to have his say in Olympia this week in a stance against some of the controls, particularly House Bill 1178 relating to the Washington State preemption statute.
I think there's a political strategy behind this. Bob Ferguson wants to be the next governor of Washington State. He would very much like to have this in his resume, that he at least fought for the rights of crime victims against the firearms industry. And that will appeal to the liberal base in Seattle, where he expects to get most of his support. And let's face it, Seattle is filled with thousands and thousands of people who really don't like guns. And if they sense that a political candidate has mounted a direct attack on the dirty old firearms industry, they're going to vote for him just blindly. That's really the long and the short of it. I was in Olympia yesterday, and I testified against 1178. And you can't say a lot in 2 minutes. I managed to pack mine into about 90 seconds. And what I told the House Committee, the Judiciary, on the Judiciary, is that we've had our state preemption law for almost 40 years. It has worked. It has worked so well that it became the model for similar laws in other states. I think somebody suggested that maybe it's responsible for 20 or more of the 40 or more preemption statutes that you'll find across the country. Our preemption statute has been upheld 2 or 3 times by the courts. It simply provides uniformity in gun laws from border to border. They told the panel, hey, if you're in Pullman or if you're in Port Angeles, the law is going to be the same. And the proponents of this thing want to require the cities to set their own gun control laws because they're claiming that local control is the most important thing. On the other hand, the same people are advocating for a statewide ban on so-called assault weapons. Now, try to wrap your head around that for a minute. You either have local control and you promote local control, or you say, well, we need a state law to ban these rotten old guns. They want it both ways. And really what they're after is to get rid of firearms altogether through one way or another. And that's their approach to this. Most people don't see that. Yesterday I said, well, wait a minute, you can't possibly advocate for one and then advocate for the other. You either want a statewide law and you support statewide firearms regulation, or you want local regulation. You can't have it both ways. And that's really what the gun prohibition lobby wants right now. Right now, the state preemption statute is the law of the state of Washington, and no municipality or county government can adopt laws, regulations that exceed the authority of the state preemption law. The state legislature right now has sole control over regulating firearms in Washington state, and that's really the way it ought to be. If you take a drive from where you're at right now, and you drive out to the coast, you're going to be driving through probably 2 dozen different jurisdictions on the way, a dozen counties maybe. And in those counties, you've got maybe 20 or more different jurisdictions. Now, if you're carrying a firearm, if they have a different requirement where in one county you can carry your firearm loaded on your person if you've got a concealed pistol license, you cross that invisible county line, and maybe somebody there has managed to pass a restriction, an ordinance that says no matter what, you have to have your gun unloaded and locked up in the trunk of your car. And that's what we got rid of 40 plus years ago when this preemption law was first introduced. They wanted uniformity, and they got uniformity. And I think that was a wise move. And as I told the House committee yesterday, I can't think of one good reason why the legislature would be willing to give up that authority, to surrender that authority to a whole bunch of municipal governments. But I can think of about 700,000 reasons for them to not do that, because that's the number right now of the people in this state who have concealed pistol licenses. You can't penalize them when they drive across a city boundary or a county line. It's nonsense, and you're making criminals out of law-abiding citizens. This kind of legislation is why everybody needs to watch what's going on in Olympia right now. It is imperative for anyone who is a firearms owner and you want to protect your rights to pay attention to what's being introduced there. And then if you see something you don't like, get on the phone. There's a toll-free hotline that you can call that will put you in touch with your state legislators in Olympia. And it's very important for you to utilize that. Doesn't cost you a penny to make that phone call, and you can deliver a message to the people that you voted for to represent you in the state legislature.
It is oh so important that the legislators hear from people both in their districts. And if you want to contact legislatures in other districts, let them know what you think of these bills. That'd be probably a good idea. You can also, you can always call the legislative hotline at 1-800-562-6000.
Experience, technology, satisfaction, a written warranty, and over 30 years' experience. That's what makes Davis Auto Rebuild stand out from the rest. At Davis Auto Rebuild, customers are our number one priority, and we realize how difficult it is to be without your vehicle. So we make it easier for you with loaner and rental cars, and also help with your insurance claims. Call Davis Auto Rebuild at 684-3137 or stop in at 1175 South Main in Colville and see the Davis Auto Rebuild difference.
Lately, we've been hearing a lot of stories about airline delays and passengers getting stranded. Well, now, Senator Maria Cantwell from here in Washington, she is starting an investigation into what she describes as the train ride from hell. The senators are demanding answers from Amtrak after passengers' accounts of a delayed 37-hour journey. Some of the passengers on board started calling 911 amid confusion and fear of being held hostage on the Amtrak train. The 37 hours, that's a long time for what was supposed to be a relatively short train ride. The passengers were aboard the Amtrak's auto train. It was going from Virginia to Florida. And it all started when another train derailed. And from there, things really went south, and apparently didn't get any answers from Amtrak for the people on the train. They understand the train was rerouted to avoid the incident on the track, and that Amtrak has to abide by hours of service laws, and because other trains are using the other tracks. So they rerouted this train headed to Florida, and, well, they had limited food, they had limited water, and give the Senate one more thing to investigate.
You know Fogel Pump and Supply drills wells, but did you know they can improve the flow of your existing well? It's called hydrofracturing, and it opens new water-producing veins in your low-producing well so you get more water. Talk to the professionals at Fogel Pump and Supply about improving your water supply with hydrofracturing. Fogel Pump and Supply, the water professionals.
Man, here in the Pacific Northwest, last night was not a good night for basketball. Utah, a 77-63 victory over Washington State. That ends a three-game losing streak for Utah. Utah now 6-3 in the Pac-12. They never trailed. They held a double-digit lead for most of the second half. The Cougars now 4-5 in Pac-12 play. Well, you knew it had to end someday, and you never wanted to be there when it happened. Well, it happened last night. Cam Shelton banked in a go-ahead runner with 13 seconds left, and Loyola Marymount snapped 6th-ranked Gonzaga's 75-game home winning streak, a 68-67 victory for Loyola Marymount over Gonzaga. The home streak for the Bulldogs was tied with Long Beach State from 1968 to 74 for the 8th longest in Division I history. Shelton scored 27 points, leading the Lions. They had not won in Spokane since 1991. They had lost 25 straight games to the Zags. Gonzaga had won 93 straight games against unranked opponents, 69 of those coming at home. Don't forget, it's NFL playoff football. We'll have the two games Saturday, two games on Sunday on 92.1 KCRK.
Today's local weather forecast is brought to you by Flex Workspace Solutions, located at 486 South Oak Street in Colville. They provide all your workspace needs from desks and cubicles to conference rooms. Reliable Ethernet and Wi-Fi internet access is available 24/7. Visit flexworkspacesolutions.com or call 509-640-2120 to learn more.
Afternoon high of 32 today. Widespread fog again tonight. 22, the overnight low. A good possibility we'll see some snow on Saturday. 33 for a high. An overnight low around 20 Saturday night. 34, some sunshine on Sunday. Mostly cloudy Monday. 29 the high, 15 overnight. Mostly cloudy Tuesday. 29 the high, 16 overnight. Cloudy skies Wednesday and Thursday. High temperatures right about the freezing mark. Overnight lows at 19 degrees. It's a Friday, and I'm ready for the weekend. How about you? Eric Carpenter on KCVL, KCRK.